after watching sales falling off for 3 straight months at Kentucky Fried Chicken, the colonel calls up the Pope and asks for a favor. The Pope says, "What can I do for you, Colonel?" And the colonel says, "I need you to change the daily prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.' If you do that, I'll donate $100 million to the church." The Pope replies, "I'm sorry, that's the Lord's Prayer, and I cannot change the words." So Colonel Sanders hangs up. After another month of dismal sales, the colonel panics and calls again. "Listen, Your Holiness, I really need your help. I'll give you $500 million if you'll change the words of the daily prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.'" And the Pope responds, "It's very tempting, Colonel Sanders. The church could do a lot of good with that money. I could help us in many areas of the world, supporting especially the charities that we run. But again, I must decline. It's the Lord's Prayer, and I cannot change the words." So the colonel gives up again. And after 2 more months of terrible sales, the colonel gets desperate. So he calls the Pope again and he says, "This is my final offer, Your Holiness. If you change the words of the daily prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken, I will donate $1 billion to the church." $1 billion. Well, the Pope gulped and said, "I'll get back to you." So the next day, the Pope calls together all of his bishops and he says, "I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is that KFC is going to donate $1 billion to the church." And the bishops all applaud and they're very thankful. And one of the bishops stands up and says, "What's the bad news?" And the Pope says, "Well, the bad news is that we've lost the Wonder Bread account." Ba-dum-bum. She got it. "I am," Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Not Wonder Bread, not Mrs. Baird's bread, not even the daily chicken. No, I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." How are we to understand Jesus' words here? They're a little bit uncomfortable, aren't they? At first it sounds okay, but if you take him literally, as the Jews did, and Jesus didn't help matters much later on in the passage, it's not exactly easy to hear these words. "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Oh, he can't mean that. Not literally. Flesh, this is meat, not bread. This is meat, flesh, not grain. He can't possibly mean that literally. It was already and still at that point in his life on his bones. He can't have meant that literally, right? Take your hymnals. Got a hymnal there in front of you. Take it and turn to 616 in your hymnal. That's just a Catholic doctrine, the idea that the bread is the flesh of Jesus and the wine is the blood of Jesus. That's just a Catholic idea, right, isn't it? 616 in your hymnal, "Come sinners to the gospel feast." Look down at the bottom, you see the words, Charles Wesley, 1747. Can't get much more Methodist than that, can you? Look at verse 3. "Come and partake the gospel feast, be saved from sin in Jesus rest. O taste the goodness of our God, and eat his flesh and drink his blood." Sounds like they're taking it literal too, aren't they? I had a church. It was a long time ago. It was just after the hymnal came out, 89, I think it is, hymnal came out. And we just gotten in the church, and it was First Communion Sunday since we had the new hymnal, and I appointed this to be sung. And everything was fine until we got to the end of verse 3. And they started stumbling over the words as they tried to sing them. And that evening, I got a telephone call from the district superintendent. What are you doing appointing to be sung in church a hymn that is a Catholic hymn? And I said, I didn't appoint a Catholic hymn to be sung. Well, they told me on the phone today that you had said that you wanted them to sing this hymn, and it talked about eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. And I said, sir, would you please take your hymnal and turn to 16. And he did, and I said, who wrote it? And he said, Charles Wesley. And I said, read verse 3. And he read it, and he got really quiet. There are elements, there are points, there are theological concepts in the church that are not always very comfortable for us. And one of those is this language in communion that we use in communion and comes from Scripture about eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. There are elements in our theology in communion, for example, where we speak about this as if we are eating his flesh and drinking his blood. This is my body, broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Indeed, the Jews, when they heard Jesus talking about this, had a problem with it. They wanted to kill him. Not just because he said that he came down out of heaven. They asked the question, isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? Isn't this the son of the carpenter? Isn't this Jesus? We know him. How can he say he came down out of heaven? They were bothered by the idea, too, that he would liken himself at first to the manna that Moses gave. And Jesus makes it very clear that Moses didn't give a bread that would help to live forever, but he is the bread come down from heaven. And then if you eat of this bread, you will live forever. Whew. Not an easy passage. It's not an easy passage given the tradition of the church with regards to communion, given the tradition of the church with regards to hymns. It's not an easy passage. Indeed, it's kind of nauseating if you think about it too closely. What did Jesus mean when he talked about himself as the bread of heaven? Jesus did indicate that he was the bread of life. Bread that is a gift from God. But unlike the manna in the wilderness, those who receive Jesus will not die. What does he mean? Well, like bread, here's a proposed answer. Like bread, Jesus feeds us. Like bread, Jesus supports us. Like bread, Jesus nourishes us. Like bread, Jesus satisfies us. Unlike bread, Jesus supports us eternally, not temporarily. Unlike bread, Jesus feeds us with an unending supply of his powerful presence. Unlike bread, Jesus sustains us by his almighty real presence. He doesn't leave us. His life is in us. We are in him, and he will not drive us away. Unlike bread, Jesus nourishes us with eternal supply, strengthening us for the mission and ministry we have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unlike bread, Jesus satisfies us eternally. Like bread, he feeds us. Like bread, he nourishes us. Like bread, he gives us strength and comfort. I find few things more comfortable than a big hunk of Mrs. Baird's bread warmed up in the microwave with butter on it. That's comfort food to me, friends. Jesus is spiritual comfort food to us. He is spiritual support for us. He is spiritual nourishment for us. He is spiritual life for us. Unlike bread, which is temporary, becomes moldy. I must have 5 or 6 bags of bread in the closet at home with a couple of pieces left in them. I need to go through and throw them away because they're moldy. They're turning into penicillin. I go buy a new loaf of bread. I forget to throw away the old loaf that is nearly gone. Unlike earthly bread that becomes moldy and icky, Jesus never molds. He is eternally supportive, eternally nourishing. He feeds us eternally with His grace. He is eternally there. Jesus never molds. Last night, I ate at the Chingus Grill. Does anybody know what that is? It is a Chinese, Oriental, if you will, stir fry. They got several of them over in Dallas. And what you do is you go and you get in a line. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Uh-oh. I can do a lot of damage at an all-you-can-eat buffet, especially at this kind. You go and you get in line. You can choose a meat, chicken, pork, beef, or seafood. You can choose a meat. You can choose some sauces to go on the meat. You can choose some vegetables, broccoli, snow peas, you know, all sorts of different vegetables to put in the bowl. Then you can choose a sauce to go on the vegetables, and you pour it on there. You know, I want the Szechuan, and I want the teriyaki, and I want the garlic. That's like an interesting blend, won't it? And then you go and you take it, and you hand it to the cook, and they got this really large flat fryer there, and you watch as they cook it in front of you. And they cook it up in front of you, and kind of like Benihana, but individually, and they cook it up in front of you, and then they pour it in a bowl and give you some steamed rice, and you go, you sit down, you eat. And then you go back for more, if you want to go back for more. I went back 3 times last night. Yes, I was hungry, and yes, my eyes were bigger than my stomach for a change. I mean, I was stuffed. I had to waddle out of there. I was so full. I woke up this morning in time to come to men's breakfast, and I thought to myself, I don't think I can eat another bite. So I didn't come. You know something? It won't be very long, a few hours, I'm going to be hungry again. I ate my full of the rice. I ate my full of the steak and the chicken. I ate the vegetables. I went back 3 times for 3 heaping bowls full. And I was full. But you know what? Pretty soon, I'm going to be hungry again. Pretty soon, I'm going to need to eat something again. And if I don't, I'm going to start feeling sick. And if I don't, there's going to be a problem. Pretty soon, I'm going to go back to the Chingus Grill. And this time, I only eat 2 bowls full. My friends, I ate my full, and I'm going to be hungry again. The good news about Christ, the good news about the bread of heaven which comes down from God to us here, is that we eat from Him, we will never be hungry again. We receive Jesus' presence into our lives by faith, we will never be hungry again. We go to Him in faith and receive from Him the grace that He so desires to give us, we will never be hungry again. He is the wonder bread that we will never run out of. He is the wonder bread that will never go moldy. I was asked before service, do I have something against Mrs. Baird's bread? No, I don't. It just doesn't work as well. He is the wonder bread that you never run out of. Always feeding, always nourishing, always there. There are times, I've said this many times, that every week I receive communion over at St. John the Baptist Episcopal Church here in town. I go there on Fridays and enjoy their midday worship service on Friday and receive communion. And if I miss, I feel spiritually hungry. But I know that Jesus is always there for me. I know that in faith, if I partake of the means of grace in Scripture, in fellowship, in prayer, I know that Jesus is always there for me. He is there to feed me spiritually and eternally. The language we use, the language Jesus used in John, the language that we use, this is my body, this is my blood, concretizes, makes clear that it truly is Jesus Himself, His life, His grace, His spirit, His strength, His love, His presence. It is truly Jesus Himself who saves us. Not the law, not our works, not anything that we do. It is Jesus who nourishes us by His presence with us. It is Jesus who feeds us with His love. It is Jesus who empowers us with His grace and strength. It is Jesus who gives us the health that we need. Wonderful news. Wonderful news. Been a week of wonderful news. My mother had a colonoscopy. We know what that is. They thought there'd be polyps or cancer. There were neither. Wonderful news. An answer to prayer. Just a little bit of diverticulitis. Wonderful news. Answer to prayer. Now, they're beginning to use language with Peggy, like language like remission. Is that correct? Did you hear that? They're using language like remission with Peggy. A woman who a year ago was so sick, she couldn't eat. Yet she fed on Jesus, the spiritual love and presence of Jesus that she knew through her husband, that she knows through us all, in Scripture, in prayer, in fellowship. She fed on Jesus. And now they're talking remission. Whatever you need in your life, wherever you need strength, wherever you need nourishment, wherever you may need to know the wonderful, life-giving presence of Jesus, wherever that may be in your life, I encourage you, feed on Jesus. Receive Him again by faith in your life. Allow Him to nourish you. Allow Him to strengthen you. Allow Him to encompass you with His love and presence. Allow Him to come into your life and change and transform you. Because He will. Food changes and transforms me. I went to buy some new pants last week, and I had to buy a size larger because I had been changed by food. I had been expanded by food a bit. I bought those expander pants. I went there to buy an extra size larger, and I discovered they make pants now that expand on the sides. And I saw that. I said, I can get the same size now. I can go and eat. Eating food will change you. Receiving Jesus will change you even more. Oh, I don't think I really want to change. Oh, really? There are some things that I enjoy doing that, you know, if I received Jesus into my life by faith, if He came in and resided in my heart, if I received Him by faith and He nourished me, I might not do anymore. There are some things that I enjoy doing, some sins, let's use the word, some sins I enjoy committing, that if I receive Christ into my life afresh and anew today, I won't want to do anymore. Yes, and your problem is? Repenting, the word pent meant to go in Old English. I am penting towards the piano. I am now repenting towards Jim. Sorry, Jim. I went back. I changed the direction of my penting from that direction to that direction. When we repent, we turn around in our life. We turn around and trust the nourishing, life-transforming, real presence of Jesus to change us. My sisters and brothers in Christ, allow the wonder bread of Christ to transform your life. Don't be tempted to sell out the Colonel Chicken. Allow the wonder bread of Christ to transform your life today. Allow the wonder bread of Jesus to transform your spirit today. Allow the wonderful grace of Christ in Scripture, in prayer, in hymns, in fellowship, in service, transform your life today. We have a member of this church who, due to his physical condition, cannot receive the bread and the juice. But by grace and by faith and by God's power and presence through the other means of grace, in Scripture, in prayer, in fellowship, in service, he can receive and feed on the real presence of Jesus in his life. Know that by faith, you can receive Christ into your life again and again and allow him to change and transform your repenting. Allow him to empower you to repent. Where do you need transformation in your life today? Where do you need the nourishment of Christ in your life today? Where do you need the transforming power of Jesus in your life today? Where do you need the wonder bread of Christ? I encourage you, when you come forward to kneel and to pray, or as you sit in your pew and pray today, I encourage you to open your soul to him. Allow him to feed you. Allow him, in his real powerful presence, to feed you. Allow him to come and be your life. The manna of this world, the Chinggis Grill, the Pizza Huts, the ponchos, all of the various food that we might eat in this world, it's going to go down. It's not going to do us any good in the long run. We're going to be hungry again. You know, you may not think it now, but you will be hungry again. As wonderful as the barbecue is, at the barbecue, we will be hungry again. But when we eat of Jesus' life and presence and love and joy and grace, eternally, we will never be hungry. My sisters and brothers, receive by faith the grace of Christ. Receive by faith his love and presence. Receive by faith that which earthly bread cannot give, the wondrous, life-transforming presence of Jesus. In this wonder bread, in this wonderful word, in our wonderful hymns and prayers, receive this wonderful presence of Jesus into your life again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let the people of God say, Amen.